You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Gentleness and respect, said St. Peter, are two qualities you can look for in a true follower of Christ. Peter was talking to people who had taken a lot for Christ already and would have to take a lot more. He said, "Do not be afraid of anyone and do not worry, but have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. But do it with gentleness and respect. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are insulted, those who speak evil of your good conduct as followers of Christ will become ashamed of what they say." Peter had learned a lot by the time he wrote these words to people scattered all over the Middle East. No one could ever accuse him of being a coward. Peter was not just a blowhard. He acted on his convictions. It was a brave act in an almost hopeless situation, taking a sword along on that fateful night when the guards came out to take prisoner the very man whom Peter had acknowledged as the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter did not hold back that night. He drew that sword and whacked away at his tormentors, hacking off the right ear of the high priest's servant, whose name was Malchus. Obviously, people remembered this incident. Some of them even remembered the man and the ear Jesus restored at that tension-filled moment before the history-making and world-changing events that took place the next few days. Peter watched from a distance as Jesus prayed while being nailed to his cross. "Father," he said, "forgive them, for they know not what they do." No one felt more than Peter the blackness in the hours that followed the crucifixion of Jesus, remembering how he had disavowed a few hours earlier ever having known this marvelous man who had always been true to him. In his gospel account of these events, John gives us a little peek at the change that occurred in Peter's life when he viewed the grave clothes lying in the tomb on that first Easter morning, everything being as it was on Friday evening, except that no body was there. The angel message on the day of the resurrection came with special force to this man: "Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee as he said he would." A special and knowing smile must have been granted to Peter on that momentous occasion when Jesus first encountered his disciples after his resurrection. Peter never forgot that, and his whole life was changed. Now Peter told people who had come to know Christ, as he had finally come to know him, "Don't be terrified by the terror of those who persecute you and make fun of you. Don't be troubled. Revere Christ as Lord in your hearts, always ready with a good response to everyone who asks you a word about the hope that is in you, with gentleness and respect." I'm always impressed with the ability of salespeople to know their product, to have confidence in it, and to tell you honestly about its virtues. Perhaps you've seen people demonstrate a product in the supermarket. They don't force you to try it, but they do make the product appealing. They may be heating small bits of sausage or pizza. The aroma comes to you first. The smiling, enthusiastic demonstrator invites you to take a piece to prove how delicious it is. In a friendly way, she explains how easy it is to prepare and how graciously it can be served to your family. She just wants you to try the product because she is sure you will like it. All of us can learn a lot from people like that. Those of us who trust Jesus as our Savior come to faith in God because His mercy is wonderful to behold and His goodness tastes mighty good. In this case, the product sells itself, if only it is tasted and tried. We live in a pragmatic world where nothing is regarded as having any value unless it works.
even though it works but does not sell, as the saying goes, it is still a failure. Attempts will be made to sell it, bringing down the price by using inferior materials and sometimes cheap workmanship to make it sell. If that does not work, blatant hucksterism may be introduced for a quick sale of what is essentially only a cheap imitation of the original product. In a pragmatic world where image is everything and true value goes down the drain, it should not surprise anyone that the same methods have touched practically every facet of human life, including religion. Knowing the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, this man Peter could not hold still for the kind of religious hucksterism that downgrades faith in Christ and a new life in Christ to the level of some philosophy or other, sometimes even to a cheap sideshow on a carnival lot. Peter was talking not about some religion or other, putting up his religion against other religions, but about faith in Christ, the crucified Savior and the risen Lord of the whole world. In your hearts, reverence the Lord, he said. Respect the authority of the Lord. Take heart, because he is in charge of the world. Respect him because of the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge that are hidden in him. Honor and love him because of the love that he shows to everyone. Jesus has wiped out the dark and often bloody record of humanity, nailing it to his cross. Now the time has come to stand up and speak up for him, as he has stood up and spoken up for all of us, with gentleness and respect worthy of his cause. It takes a lot of heart to stand up with gentleness and respect to the hostility and sometimes persecution which followers of Christ have always had to endure ever since the year one of the apostolic age. The strength to do that comes from Christ himself. He was content to forego the privilege of his deity, laying aside for a while his power and glory for the sake of suffering humanity. In his love, he became one of us. He humbled himself, having done no wrong, and yet carrying the load of our sins in his own body, and dying a death that can be described only as a disgrace. For the joy that was set before him, he endured a cross, forgetting about the shame, and now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When he suffered, he threatened not. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return, but committed everything to him who judges righteously. Peter saw that, and he knew that Jesus expects the same of his followers. He makes it good to them, as only he can. Honor Christ as the Lord in your heart, said Peter, ready always to give a considered response to everyone who asks you for a good word about the hope that is in you, always with gentleness and reverence, having a good conscience toward God. Jesus does not command his people to argue with others, but to witness to him. You will be witnesses to me, he said, in Jerusalem, the big city, and in all Judea, the countryside, in Samaria, where the ghetto is and nobody goes, and to the last extremity of the earth. St. Peter felt that he had to tell Christians to be ready for something like this. People would ask them, what does it mean to follow Christ? How does one come to know Christ, as you apparently do, as your own personal Savior? I've known many Christians who are not ready for questions like that with a simple, straightforward answer, even though it should be right on the tip of their tongues. Is it possible, in a few sentences, to explain your faith in Christ and the hope that is in you? It certainly is possible to do that. When you do it with gentleness, with respect for God, and also for people to whom you are talking. If you would ask me those questions right now, I would tell you as gently as I could, and also with the greatest respect for God, and also for you, I believe in Jesus because he died for my sins and forgives me. By the power of God, he rose from the dead and he is alive, giving new life to me and to all believers in him. If you wanted me to quote something from the scriptures that would say the same thing, I would tell you, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us, and has committed to us this word of reconciliation. In Christ's name and with his authority, I say to you, make your peace with God, for God made him who did not know a single sin at all to be sin for you, that you might become a forgiven son or daughter of the living God through faith in him. If you wanted to hear more, I would tell you I put my trust not in an organization or even in a church, but in Jesus and in Jesus alone. In him I know I am right with God. It is not that I am so wonderful, but God certainly is wonderful. In him there is security, peace, and joy. I'm not the only one. You are included, whoever you are. Christ died for all, that those who live by faith in him should not from that time on live for themselves alone, but for him who for their sakes died and rose again. There are those who say, with every good intention, that you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. With the power of his own spirit, if I read it correctly, he comes into your own heart. He comes there right now through the good news which you are hearing. Jesus enters hearts like yours with his power, convicting you of your sin and convincing you of his salvation. He saves you by enfolding you in his arms and taking you to his heart. He gives you the confidence that he is Savior and Lord. By the gospel, he wins you to himself. That gospel of forgiveness and life through faith in him is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. The moment you come to believe, even a little bit, that Jesus is your Savior, at that moment, you begin to say to other people, Jesus died for you too. Jesus lives for you, that you may live with faith and love toward him. You can say that without pride, because you didn't do anything yourself to bring it about. He did it all. There's no place in the life or witness of Christian people for arrogance and a holier-than-thou attitude. By grace you are saved, through faith in Christ, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should go around bragging about himself. The first step of genuine witness for Jesus Christ is an attitude of gentleness, without pride or pretense. It is an attitude of respect, standing in awe of God who shows such grace to you, and sharing a genuine understanding for people who have not yet come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Really caring, really listening, having a desire not to overwhelm, but to be of help. The work of Christ is carried on today through the straightforward witness of followers of Christ, offered with gentleness and respect. The truth of God does its own work. Let the gospel come through, both over your lips and in your life. The gospel produces a truly Christian personality, witnessing to Christ with gentleness and respect for the personality of God and also for the personality of other people. It is the road to a good conscience before God. Peter had found it out for himself the hard way. And all of us have to find it out for ourselves, tasting the goodness of God and trying it out to see that it works. Faith in Christ always stands the pragmatic test. It works. God works, the gospel works, and Christ works in the hearts of people to make them a gentle folk, with fear of God that is not slavish, and with respect for people that is not servile. Real strength in our world belongs to gentlemen and gentlewomen who put their faith in God because of Jesus Christ. By his power entering human hearts like yours and making of them a new people full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, forgiven and forgiving, reaching out to touch the hearts of others with gentleness and respect in the name of the Lord Christ. Amen.